Well, I don't really like having to space out a month. It's really hard for me because I keep getting insights and then I just feel like I'm tumbling over everything. But I'll give you some notes, and we're talking about inner truth, which is the effective messenger, and we've been talking about faith and talking about watermarks. And so anyway, now we're going to talk about the impurities, the things that will be coming up out of our faith that makes it be undermined. And it's often the things that Satan has used as a fiery dart. It comes into us and we receive it as our own and we dialogue with it and we make it our own, but it's a lie. And so it's implanted way down deep. And then when something comes into our lives, like a trial that triggers that, it comes up to destroy our faith because he doesn't want us to have faith. And so there's these impurities, and we're going to be talking about these impurities. But I want to first start with Romans chapter 8, just to set the groundwork of what I'm going to say. It's a verse that we've visited before, probably several times. So Romans 8 and verse 28. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose." Well, the Sunday before last Wednesday, I was reading in this book called The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer, and it's a real intense book at the aspects of God's nature. So the one that I was working on that Sunday was his self-existence. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't need us. He could live without me. He can exist without us. He doesn't need us to do anything. He doesn't need anybody to do anything. He's self-existent. But he chooses to bring us into relationship with him. And as he brings us into relationship, he works on using the situations in our lives to conform us to his image. So on Sunday, I'm thinking about this, and on Monday I'm thinking about it, and Tuesday I'm thinking about it. Well, Wednesday I had an experience that would not have happened if I had not slammed into the wall and re-injured my brain. This is just a normal thing that would have taken place, but because I re-injured my brain, it was not normal. So Wednesday I was supposed to go to Anderson to be with my chiropractic neurologist, and I get in the car and it's raining, cats and dogs. So I pull out onto the street. Now normally when I'm driving to Anderson, I'm praying. So I pull out onto the street, I got my windshield wipers on, and it's coming down pretty hard. By the time I got down to the golf course, I was feeling fear. I had this fear, and my heart was racing. I was having a hard time breathing. I was sweating. I was shaking. I'm thinking, what in the world? I mean, this is just not normal. So I stopped praying, and I went into my, "Jesus, you're my rock. I stand in you, and I will not be shaken." And it wasn't working. And so then I started doing a few other things with the word to really bring this under control, and it wasn't working. And I'm thinking, something's really wrong. It must be my brain. So I remembered, our thoughts control our brain, and our brain controls our body. Well, my brain is not working, so I need to get some thoughts that will bring my brain into control. So I went into this meditating about God as self-existence.
And you're driving all that.
And I'm driving. And the windshield wipers are going on full speed. It's raining cats and dogs. And when I got onto the freeway, the fear just escalated. And I'm thinking, this is not good. And so I'm driving and I'm really, really concentrating on God as being self-existent. Now, remember when we talked from 2 Peter, how that he has made us a partaker of his nature? So I entered in through my thoughts into the nature of God's self-existence. And I could feel myself in this nature where I literally, that was my very life at the moment. Because as I kept on going up the freeway, and you know how you get out of Red Bluff and then it goes into three lanes and it goes back to two lanes? Well, when it went back to the two lanes, there was just a line of trucks. And the trucks were just throwing the water onto my windshield. And then I could feel the tires hydroplaning. And I'm in the left lane. And I'm going, Lord, you are self-existent. I'm hiding in you. And I was just, so you can tell. When this is what happens. When we relive a traumatic experience, our body goes into the same motion. And the emotions that we experience as, so as I'm relating this to you, I'm starting to feel this stuff. So I know that I can control it through my thoughts. So I'm thinking about the Lord as being self-existent. What it meant was he had no limits, he had no boundaries, he had no parameters. So hiding in his self-existence, there wasn't a thing that can touch me from the outside. Nothing can touch God from the outside or the inside. So when we enter into his nature of his self-existence, we are one with him. So by the time I got to the scales, I had my body back down to normal. By just speaking the things about who he is as being self-existent. So let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. See, it's really important to understand the power of our thoughts. Because if by our thoughts we can control our brain, then our brain can control our body. My body was out of sync, but it was because of the brain injury. So when I, even though it was the brain injury, it's like there's not a thing you could do. I mean, that's just something that I would have to work through. But see, by speaking about the Lord, by being hidden into his nature, it controlled my brain, which then controlled my body. By the time I got to my doctor, I was fine. In fact, she has things that she measures my stability and the way my brain is acting by my balance. And I was in a higher score than I normally would have been. So just by doing that, by staying in the nature of the Lord, it brought not only my brain under control, but my body under control, but it helped it. So if you can figure out how to recognize what's going on in your body and then take verses or take his attributes that you need at that moment, then you can come through anything. So we'll read 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. All right, now I'm going to go to my Amplified and read you what it says. Okay, so that through them, these promises, you may escape by flight. So, literally, what we're doing is we're going from where we are right at that moment, we're escaping into the very nature of the Lord. For me, I escaped into his self-existence. And it was all my thoughts. See, we've got to control our thoughts, but we can't just control them by saying, I'm going to control my thoughts. I mean, we really, our thoughts have to be so in one with the nature of the Lord in order to affect what needs to be affected. So instead, we become sharers or partakers of the divine nature. Now let's go to Romans chapter 15. And verse 4. See, we enter into his nature through his word. So, verse 4, Romans 15:4 says this: For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now, the Amplified helps us understand what this is saying. I really like this. I read this morning and I thought, yeah, I need to share this with you guys because this will help us to understand what he's talking about. So it says this, that by our steadfast and patient endurance and encouragement drawn from the scriptures. Isn't that good? Mm-hmm. We draw it out from the word that we might all pass to and cherish hope. Now, this is the fifth verse in the Amplified. Now, may the God who gives the power of patient endurance, steadfastness, and who supplies encouragement. See, it's all the Lord. He's the one who gives us the power. He's the one who gives us the encouragement. But we're the ones who draw it out of his word. Now, let's go to John chapter 17 and verse 24. See, all this, all these insights that he gave me would not have come about if I hadn't had the experience. And the experience wouldn't have come about if I hadn't have injured my brain. So see how he works it all? He works all of it. He always redeems everything. Even though it's something really traumatic, he will still redeem it because he's the redeemer. So verse 24 says this. Father, this is Jesus speaking. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Mm-hmm. So, his desire, this is Jesus' desire, is that we would see his glory. Now, also, we go up to verse 22. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. So he wants us to see his glory, and he wants the glory that he's given us to help us to be one with him. So now we'll go back to John 1 and verse 14. Because it says, the word becomes flesh and dwelt among us, and we behold, we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So this word right here before us, as we bring it in, as we draw his word into our inner being through meditating, through meditatively reading, through memorizing, we are becoming one with him. His word becomes flesh. It becomes part of us. And we become one with him. And we experience his glory. We behold his glory. Mm-hmm. So the word became flesh. Here's Jesus with his disciples. But he is a man. He's in the flesh with them. But they still beheld his glory because he is the eternal word. So now, let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. This is what it says. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's exactly what happened to me on Wednesday. By beholding the Lord as self-existent, my body was transformed. I went from total fear and all those manifestations of fear, even though I wasn't afraid when I started out. I didn't really get afraid until, I mean, me personally got afraid when I hydroplaned. Then it was like double putting it together. Because at first it was just, you know, confusing. Like, why is my body acting like this? I don't feel, I mean, I've driven in hard rain. I've driven in snow. I've driven in sleet. I've driven in ice. You know, it's not like it was a foreign thing. But my brain was just flipping out. So we can literally be transformed by beholding His glory in His Word. Now, so let me give you the Amplified of 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, I love this. I love how it connects it all. It says, and all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured or transformed into His very own image in ever-increasing splendor and one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So we're being transformed. It's that metamorphosis. It's where the old dies and the new is formed. You know what I mean? The caterpillar doesn't resemble the butterfly, and the butterfly doesn't resemble the caterpillar, because the caterpillar melts inside of that cocoon. And as we continually behold the Word, and we're drawing the truths of His Word into our inner being, the old thought patterns are literally melting and being reformed in truth. It's the truth that sets us free. And His Word is truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but through me. And so He's saying here, with an unveiled face. See, an unveiled face is faith. It's where we're looking at Him through His Word and believing and receiving the truth of what He is saying about Himself. And it goes all the way from Genesis to Revelation. Now, I want to go to, I got to go back to my notes now, so that I can give you this in the Amplified. So it's Galatians chapter 2. I just wrote this morning. That's why you're getting it now. Because Galatians 2 and verse 20. Paul is saying, I was crucified with Christ, but I live. And yet it's not me, but it's Christ who lives in me. And he says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, in the Amplified, this is really good. This helps us understand what faith really is. So, in the Amplified, it says, I live by faith. Okay, it's the adherence to, which is holding on for dear life. That's exactly what I was doing on Wednesday. I was holding on for dear life by staying in, entering in, and staying in the Lord's nature of self-existence. Holding on for dear life. That's the adherence. It's like, you know, people who get like shipwrecked or they get overthrown out of their boat, if they can find anything, they hold on to it for dear life. Even if it's a piece of wood or if it's a something jetting out of the water that's got barnacles on it. You know what I mean? They'll still hold on to it for dear life. That's what we mean by having faith in the Lord. We are holding on to Him through His Word. And then it says, and reliance on. Not relying on anything else. You know, not relying on what somebody might have said or relying on something you read in a book, but relying on the Lord Himself, not anything else. And then it says, complete trust in. So it's not trusting in myself, it's not trusting in anything, but it's abandoning everything else to believe in the Lord. So he adds these all together by adherence to and reliance on and complete trust in the Son of God. So he is our anchor in the midst of any situation that we're in. He's our anchor. So we go back to Hebrews chapter 6. It's faith in His Word. Now, faith is substance. And let me give you the definition of substance. Substance is the quality of having a solid basis. That's exactly who the Lord is. Faith is substance. So, the quality of having a solid basis in reality or fact. It's the quality of being dependable or stable. So, there's not a thing, it's just so amazing. There's not a thing that can touch the Lord in His self-existence. Not any evil, not any darkness. And there's nothing that can touch Him on the inside. He's pure holiness. There's not anything that can affect Him in any way. So when we're hidden in Him, then it's not going to affect us either, because His Word is so strong and our faith has to be in the Word. So the word substance has validity and it has a foundation. And what is the foundation of an authentic follower of Christ? It's faith. It's the faith that we're saved by. It's the faith that we live by. It's the substance. In fact, it says in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things not seen, but they're hoped for. So, our faith in God is the foundation. A foundation, well, I think I told you before, but I was in Boston, and they were building a skyscraper. And that foundation went way down. The foundation had to be stories deep. In fact, it was the Twin Towers when they went over, the foundation was still there. All of that was still underground. It doesn't get shaken. The same way with us. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. So, faith is in the Lord through His Word. It's not faith that He might do something or faith that this person might do something, but it is faith in Him alone. Totally abandon all the other things that would be like a self-help or something like that, or even our own way. So 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. It says this. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. Last night in meeting, we sang Standing on the Promises. And you know, Jake was speaking last night, and the very first verse he goes to is James chapter 1 and verse 21. Lay aside all the things. Lay them aside. Not like he said when Janae says, Jake, you need to clean off your desk, and he throws things into drawers. This is like, cast it off. Don't hold on to it. Don't hold on to it and hold on to the Lord. Let it all go and hold on to the Lord, because He is our solid foundation. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. Having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Iniquity is sin, but you know what? It's doing anything independent of God.
Anything what?
Independent of God. Mm-hmm. So here we are. His desire for us is that we would be one with him, and his desire is that we would see his glory, and we do that through his word. It's all through his word. There's not any other thing that we can stand on, because his word is eternal. So our faith is very important. And because, well, I won't say it's very important. Our faith is essential. Mm-hmm. And Satan will do anything he can do to destroy our faith. So for us, we need to gird up. Now, I want to go to Jude. I woke up with this verse. And when I woke up with the verse, I'm thinking, no, where is it? Where is it? Well, this is where it is. Jude and verse 20. So Jude is just before Revelation. Jude and verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Mm-hmm. How do we do that? By entering in to his nature through his word. We are building our faith. We are causing our faith to be steadfast. Why? Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. If Satan can get us to believe a lie, he can control our life. So he does that through fiery darts. He lobs fiery darts that are lies, and if we accept them and we make them our own, they can begin that destructive process, and they become dross. So 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But this is our stance. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So we resist him. Colette, you ever take an antihistamine?
I think I had before.
Did you ever do an inhaler?
No.
Okay. Have you ever do an inhaler?
Yes.
Well, what happens is there's this allergic reaction, or this, you know, big reaction. And so those things are antihistamines. They are resisting the reaction. That's what we do with the word. We resist him by our faith. So our faith has to be strong. And the only way that we increase our faith is through the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. So let's go to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. It says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So our faith is essential. Now, when Job was being tried, he says, when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And in Amplified, it's luminous and bright. Mm-hmm. See, we have a witness. Jake was talking about it last night. Do we need to speak in order to be a witness of the Lord living in us? No, because it could be by actions. Our actions are what our thoughts are. We have no action unless we have a thought, because actions always follow thoughts. So therefore, we go right back to the thoughts. What are we thinking about our faith? See, our faith is coming straight out of our relationship with the Lord. But if we allow other things to creep in and take up residence, then there's going to be a conflict. And in that conflict, it's the war of the flesh against the spirit. But if we joyfully surrender our flesh in the moment, then he will empower us. Remember back in Romans where he's the one who supplies the power and he's the one who supplies the encouragement? So we build ourselves up in our faith. We learn to go into the Word and draw out the anchor verses that will secure us in the midst of our situation. But the impurities rise up in our adverse circumstances. They don't usually rise up unless we're in a strong battle for our faith. Because if you just go along through life, then faith is not ruffled. We're just going along. But when all of a sudden we drop into an adverse circumstance, what's the first thing that happens? You know, whatever is that first thought is where the fight begins. Is the first thought, you are my anchor? Or is the first thought, oh no, what am I going to do? See, the minute we start into the dialogue of, oh no, what am I going to do? Then we're in the battle. If we immediately entered into a nature of the Lord, there would be no battle because he is our anchor. So now let's go to John 15. We're talking about dwelling, indwelling, the indwelling word. It's the same word of entering in and being a partaker of his nature. It's the same way of being one with him through the word. It's the same way of beholding his glory. All of it is through the word. And so now we go to John 15 and verse 7. It says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. When our desire becomes one with the Lord's desire for us to be one, then the battle is the Lord's, not ours. John 15, verse 7 in the Amplified says this. If you live in me, see there's the partaker of my nature. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me. That's what I was doing on Wednesday. And I was so vitally united with him, there was none of me. I was just hanging on for dear life. And it says, my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts. See, that's what abiding is. It's continuing to live in our heart. It's that song, constantly abiding. Jesus is mine. And so all of these that we've talked about all have to do with faith. It's our faith in the Lord through his word that we have the anchor that holds us and keeps us steadfast. And let's go to Colossians. Chapter 3. That was another thing that I said when I was in his nature of self-existence is my life is hidden with Christ in God. So verse 3, Colossians 3:3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 17. Okay, now we'll go to verse 24. Paul is now declaring to the people and the men of Athens about the unknown God. He says, now I'm gonna help you understand who this unknown God is. He goes, verse 24. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. Mm-hmm. See, there's his self-existence. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need anything. Since he gives to all life and breath and all things. Now, let's go to verse 27. so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being. Isn't that great? So it's in him. It's being a partaker of his nature through his word, through his promises, that we become one with him and fulfill his desire for us. But then it also fulfills our desire for us. So intimate relationship with the Lord is that oneness. But it's always through his word, because his word is the truth and his word is everlasting. So let's go to 1 Peter. I think that Brad read this Sunday morning, maybe. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Mm-hmm. So it's his forever word. It's the strength that we have through our faith. It's not looking at our circumstances and allowing our circumstances to dictate to us. But when we are entering into his nature in our circumstances, our thoughts are dictating to our circumstances. See, through my thoughts on Wednesday, I was dictating to my brain, which was dictating to my body. And my body finally came under that. It wasn't instant, believe me. It was a fight. It was a real, I had to hold on for dear life. I had to adhere to him like, what is it, flypaper, you know, and it adheres and you can't get it apart. Years ago, I have a friend, Betty Kinnear, who's an artist. And I was young. I was still in high school and she was in the university. And I think I probably talked a lot. Well, I mean, I did talk a lot, but I think I probably bothered her. And so she says, I'm going to have you sit down here and you can help me do something. It's really, really important. She gave me a piece of vellum. She said, now I want you to split it. She says, you've got to be really careful, but I want you to split this vellum. Well, vellum doesn't split. It's the same way with us and the Word in our intimate communion with the Lord. Nothing splits oneness with him. When we are focused on him, when we're beholding his glory, we go back to 2 Corinthians 3:18. We behold him through his word and we are transformed. There's not a thing on this earth that should rival our relationship with the Lord. There's nothing that is equal. I mean, we have to go back to Isaiah 40 that it says, there's no one you're equal. In fact, let's just go back to Isaiah 40. Because I just love these verses. Because they just help me. You know, and you can see the whole thing with self-existence in them. His self-existence. Let's just go to verse 12. Isaiah 40:12. Talking about the Lord. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. So look at the hollow of your hand. Mm-hmm. See that little spot right there in your palm? That's mm-hmm. the hollow of your hand. But he's measured the waters. In the hollow of his hand. He measured the heaven with a span. That's where you take your thumb apart from your little finger. That's a span, but in a man, it's much longer. And calculated the dust in the earth in a measure. Weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. So, can we do that? No. He's self-existent. There's, in this book, Knowledge of the Holy, he says, you know, there's parts of God's nature that is only for himself. It's not for us. We'll never know him. It's only for the Lord. And he has created us for his pleasure. Now, I want to take you back to Psalm 36. Not because he needs us, but for his pleasure. You know, we were looking at the birds. His creation that surely had on our phone. Glorious. I mean, they're for our pleasure. We'll never see them. We'll just see that picture, but I love the little purple guy. Anyway, 36:8. Yes. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. You give them drink from the river of your pleasures. Mm. He has a river that's just for his pleasure, but he brings us in to drink out of it. Well, Lord, I'm just amazed again at the power of your word. I thank you, Lord, that you even allow us to become a partaker of your nature, even though there's not a thing we can do. We don't just walk into it, but it's through our thoughts. Everything is through our thoughts. You've given us your word to put into our thoughts so that it will control our actions. And Lord, you are mighty. There is not anything that can touch you on the inside or the outside. And we're just grateful that you brought us into relationship with you. And I thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.